That is the music of Debbie Stroman, UNC professor, former UNC coach, sports aficionado, and advocate. She joins me on the phone today for Stroman on Sports. Deb, as always, welcome in. Happy Friday. How are you?
I am doing well. I am ready for this weekend, even though the holiday weekend is next weekend. But I think the weekend before the holiday, I just think it's also a good time to focus in on projects around the home and then get ready for all family and friends and gatherings.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I've got friends and family that are coming into town this weekend, so it's like kind of staying busy each weekend. We had Juneteenth last weekend, lots of celebrations then. We've got stuff going on this weekend, and that will feed right into next weekend as well. Should be a good time.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Now, I know that you had a pretty busy day today. We have been following the coverage, and we had folks on the ground as well at the UNC Black Student Movement demonstration held on UNC campus today. And I know that you were there and took some time to address the crowd. Looked like it was about 100 people, more than 100 people that were there, students, faculty, and staff advocating for better treatment of Black faculty and specifically speaking in favor of Nicole Hannah-Jones. Wanted to give you a couple minutes to just, you know, cover what did you share with people at the protest or at the demonstration, I should say.
Yes, it was a wonderful, wonderful gathering. It was the rainbow in terms of white people, Black people, brown people, all ages. I saw senior citizens there and I saw little ones there. And it was definitely, I would think it was more than, I would say somewhere close to 300 plus people. And especially when you saw people standing on the perimeter, people coming in, people coming out, but certainly it was a time for us to all show our support for Nicole Hannah-Jones receiving the tenure offer versus the fixed-term position. But it was led by the students, and I always love to see that because, you know, part of growing up is finding out who you are and what your values are, because certainly we are informed by our parents, we're informed by our schools, our peers, but when you get that college age, 17 to 22, you really have the opportunity to get engaged with those things that you feel really define yourself. And to see so many young people saying that their First Amendment right is important and that they're going to organize and bring people together over something that I found is a no-brainer, thinking in terms of not only her credentials, but being a Tar Heel, and then, of course, her work to bring out truth. And I just think it's just amazing that we're in a place like this today. But it's great to see the students out there leading it. My comments were my disappointment in terms of where we are, that this is another major embarrassment and blemish to the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I expressed my disappointment concern with the number of Black faculty and staff who've already said that they're going to leave or they're in the process of entertaining offers and considering leaving. That hurts. And then lastly, I said, let's connect the dots here. UNC is known for its academic excellence and its athletics excellence. And so where are the coaches, where are the athletes to speak? And not to point one direction or the other, but where's your voice? Why aren't you using your platform? Not about getting agreement, but telling your truth and how this affects you. It might not be apparent right now, but if you have an unhappy campus, in particular, brown and Black students who aren't happy, and you think about the number of brown and Black athletes who star for our sports teams, in particular, men's basketball and football, the revenue generators, eventually, this is going to affect recruiting. It's going to affect retention. So my concern was how do we, amongst other things, but how do we connect the dots here and make sure that the athletic side of the campus is fully aware and get engaged?
That's a very good point. And I think that's a good way to frame it, too, because I've always thought, what is it like to be in an athlete's shoes? Because especially for, you know, the big stars, not just on the football and basketball team, but you see, you know, stars even on like field hockey and baseball teams too. If you're somebody that the campus community might recognize, your experience on campus in Chapel Hill is just different from everybody else's because you kind of have those eyes on you. And I imagine that's the case for many athletes everywhere. And I think that does create an experience different from others in that sometimes you can insulate yourself a little bit more or remove yourself from the campus community, maybe because you don't like how that feels or just because you've got such a busy schedule, so much going on that you can't go out and do quite the same other things as the campus or as faculty do. I wonder if that kind of affects how athletes perceive conversations like this that are going on right now around Nicole Hannah-Jones, around Black faculty. And you're right, it would be really interesting to hear what their voices are.
Well, there's no doubt that athletics serves as a buffer, or it insulates you from many of the things that are going on in the community around our nation. Because athletes, and again, I played at the top level in the ACC and had opportunities to play pro. You definitely get this buffer. People want to do things for you because of your star power, because of possible access, you know, to take a picture. So you get a lot given to you. But what happens is because you're removed, then you become less aware. It almost goes back to the challenges that we had around the academic athletic cloud, where people felt that they wanted to protect them to the point where they would put them in courses that they weren't really interested in, or they knew that they could get a grade to be eligible to continue to play their sport. Well, in the same regard, we are cheating them now, because I'd be hard-pressed to find a group of Blacks, a group of Latinos, BIPOC, people of color, that once you graduate from college, as in you leave this cocoon, this very positive, inspirational, fun place for most students, once you leave this place, you're going to hit the real world. And, you know, if I had a penny for every alum who has contacted other faculty and staff saying how challenging it is in the real world now due to structural racism, due to bias, due to in-group favoritism, due to being excluded, due to not being feel that you belong at your job, at your organization, even volunteer work. So we cheat athletes if we don't give them the full experience and give them the opportunity to be engaged in this space, to learn the truth, to learn about 1619, to learn about the Indian Removal Act, to learn about protests in the civil rights movement, learn about feminism or womenism, you know, all these different things. That's a part of helping them to be able to be better citizens later on. Mercy. How do we teach citizenship, civility, if we don't have them get an opportunity to do that on our campus?
We're speaking with Deb Stroman, associate professor at UNC, but of course, a former head basketball coach involved, former player as well, involved in so many ways in the sporting community. And I think it is interesting, Deb, too, when you look at last summer, there was athletes involved in the Black Lives Matter, the racial justice movement and protests that we saw across the country on the professional and collegiate level. At UNC and at many other colleges, it seemed like there were times where one group of athletes said, all right, hey, let's organize something on our own. And then all of these athletes did something together. You know, I wonder if it's going to be a situation we're seeing departments right now at UNC issue statements in support of Hannah-Jones and calling for change, better treatment of Black faculty, retaining Black faculty. I wonder if it'll end up being a situation where maybe it's not easy for one person, one athlete to say it, but they could come together as a team and issue a statement. But then it's also you kind of get into the, you know, you get into the Michael Jordan famous quote, Republicans buy shoes too. I'm sure people who are concerned about the perception of the programs together are worried about necessarily how that would look or potentially alienate some fans. The other argument, though, is if you don't say anything, if you stay silent, you're going to end up alienating your peers on campus or alienating faculty to serve it. And that, as we have already seen, affects the university's reputation as a whole, aside from athletics.
Well, I think, and especially as we move into NIL, name, image, and likeness, where athletes are concerned about their brand and their marketing, I think it's important for people to be authentic. And I think when you get to my age, you know, you gravitate more to, I'm going to be who I am. Senior citizens show up however they want. But I think, again, we have this myth. We have this idea that you can't be authentic while you're 18 years old or while you're 30 because you're still trying to acquire assets and toys, right? It might affect my job and whether or not I get promoted. It might affect whether or not I can live in a certain neighborhood. We have got to stop this myth. As in, if you speak out, as opposed to thinking in a mindset of fear, think about love, right? Love and fear, the two most powerful emotions. And so when you speak out, speak your truth, just think how many people will be drawn to you. Now, you take Colin Kaepernick. He was authentic, although I'm sure there are many other athletes, white, brown, and black, who felt the same way about Colin Kaepernick, about police brutality. But he spoke up. And so he got galvanized a big part of activists all over the world. Now, did he lose his job as quarterback? I think most people would say yes, that affected him. But he's okay. He's still making money. He's making a difference. He's volunteering. He's giving money away to communities in need. And so there is a whole other side that people will be drawn to you if you're authentic. And then the other thing, how can you tell a 19 or 20-year-old not to be themselves, to hide behind their brand, to hide behind the athletic department? In your position now more than ever, speak up and you use your platform. Maybe when you're going after a job at Microsoft or IBM, right? Maybe then you might want to think about, okay, how am I going to show up in the social media space or whatever? But right now, when you're a college student, if ever there's a time, it could be explained away. If you had to have it explained away, you're exploring, you're learning, you want to speak the things that bother you or where you see injustice. I don't think injustice has an age limit. I don't think, but standing up for justice doesn't have an age limit. It doesn't have a race. It doesn't have a gender, all the other identities. Justice is important and it's required. We have to stay vigilant and stay on top of this because, as we can see, there are people who are against multiracial communities, multiracial businesses, multiracial communities, multiracial political governance agencies. There are people who do not want white, black, and brown people to come together.
We've got to begin to wrap up the conversation, Deb, but I do want to ask you briefly, any other final takeaways that you hope that people who either attended the demonstration today or didn't attend the demonstration today by the Black Student Movement come away with as they learn more about how Black faculty, students, and the UNC community are feeling right now?
Well, you know, as the students stated, for everybody who is in attendance, it's great to attend, but what's the action you're going to do? You know, send money to the Black Student Movement, to the UNC NAACP chapter, so they can continue to do the comforting, the nurturing, the mental health work that's needed, because the university is not doing it. And that's from the students. They said that directly. They're the ones who are providing the necessary services to help them thrive and survive right now. And then the other part is to be informed, to know what's going on, and certainly reach out to athletes, reach out to coaches and say, what is your opinion? What is your thought? Why aren't you speaking on this? Because this Nicole Hannah Jones situation has clearly been an embarrassment to the university. And I don't know if we're going to be able to repair this. That's how bad the trust is. The trust has been broken.
It's certainly a tense situation and no end in sight at the moment, or no resolution either in terms of what is going on with her tenure application. But we will certainly continue following that here on 97.9 The Hill with our news coverage. And, you know, if athletes end up speaking out about it, we will be covering that as well with our sports coverage. And I imagine we will be talking about it in this very same segment in the future. As always, Deb, thank you so much for taking the time. Enjoy your weekend.
Well, thank you. And I'm asking Sam Howell, I want to hear from you. Thank you.